If you'd go to the book of Luke again this morning, we've been on a series for a few weeks now that we're calling Teach Us to Pray. Teach Us to Pray. Do you suppose you could learn something else about praying?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. In Luke 11, verse 1. It came to pass as he, Jesus, was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And so this is why we're calling it that. They realized, the 12 and the others that were around Jesus, they saw him pray a lot. And so they realized the way he prayed, they need to learn something about praying. And so they said, teach us to pray. And so we began by praying that prayer ourselves. And I know some of you might not have been with us. So let's just say it out loud again from your heart. Say, Father God,
I ask you,
teach us to pray.
Teach me how to pray
the way you can hear it
and answer it,
to get rid
of
unscriptural praying.
Teach me to pray.
I ask in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Do you believe it's His will to do that for you? Well, you know it is. So according to the scripture, if we know it's His will, we know He heard us,
right,
and we know our petition is granted.
Right.
So you can expect the Lord to show you some things about praying right now,
right,
and the rest of the day, and tonight, and tomorrow. And something, you may start to pray a certain way on Tuesday, and the Lord prompts you and go, don't pray that way.
Okay.
Hmm? Remind you of a scripture. Remind you of something. Because Matthew's account of this same happening in Matthew 6, when they said, teach us to pray, the first things he did, several things, was tell them how not to pray. He told them what not to do. He said, don't pray for other people to see you. Don't pray to be seen of men. He said, don't pray vain repetitions. Don't pray the same thing, the same words, over and over again, mindlessly. And so that's the first thing he started doing, was saying, don't pray like this. There's a lot of praying that is absolutely useless. I mean, for all the good it's doing people, they actually would be better off not doing it. And so we don't want to be doing that ourselves. So we ask the Lord, do you believe He heard you? Do you believe He'll show you? He will. Things will come up. And when they do, don't be stuck in religious tradition. I've prayed that way my whole life. Well, maybe you've been wrong about something your whole life. Well, that's the way Grandma prayed. Well, Grandma could have been wrong. Huh? Not about everything, but maybe about that. And you know... Just because somebody's been doing it for 500 years doesn't make it right. If it was wrong 500 years ago, it's still wrong. But by that time, it's become an ingrained tradition. And people think it's right. That's why you want to read your chapter every day. Is that right? Monday through Friday. Why? So you know what the Lord said about these things. Elsewise, you're easy to fool, easy to mislead. Now, he goes on to give what we call the Lord's Prayer, but it's actually him teaching us to pray. So let's keep reading here in Luke. He said, when you pray, not if you pray. When you pray, pray like this. And again, this is not something for us to just chant scores of times over and over. He's already warned us about that in Matthew 6. But after this manner Matthew talks about after this manner, pray like this. You can pray this entire prayer, what people call the Lord's Prayer, in less than a minute. Well, sometimes Jesus prayed all night long. Is he just repeating the same things over and over again? Well, no, he told us not to do that. So this is not some magical incantation that you say these words and magically something happens. No, these are principles of prayer and they are priority of prayer. And like we said last week, I can see five things it talks about him and five things it talks about us in this prayer. And it starts off not with us, but with him. We're talking about learning how to pray. So when you pray, pray like this. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You need to know who you're praying to. And here it tells you where he is. Heaven. And you'll see that repeated, your kingdom come, your will be done as in heaven. He mentions heaven again. So in earth. So in praying, we need to be aware of heaven. Our Father. How many think every one of these words is significant? Yes. There are no unnecessary words here. So he didn't have to say our Father who is in heaven. He could have just said our Father. And if you'd read much scripture, you could have figured out the in heaven part. But no, when you're praying, you need to be mindful. I'm on the earth. He's in heaven. Yeah. Somebody said, well, I thought he was with me. His Spirit is with you.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit came from heaven, the scripture says, on the day of Pentecost. And he's been here in the earth ever since.
Amen.
And that's what Jesus said right before he left to go to heaven. He said, I won't leave you helpless. I'll send another comforter to you that he may abide with you forever. And that's the Holy Spirit. So the Father, our Father God, his dwelling place is not here on the earth. His dwelling place is heaven. Jesus, his dwelling place is not on the earth per se. He's at the right hand of majesty on high. When he left here, he went to heaven.
Amen.
We commune with the Father and with the Son by his Spirit who is here. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is here on the earth. He said, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done as in heaven, so in the earth. One of the first things we should focus on every time we pray is that there is no one else in the universe who can answer a prayer.
Amen.
Except our Father.
Amen.
Who is in heaven. There are many who are called gods, but they are false gods.
Huh?
There are people who are bowing in front of statues and spinning wheels and chanting and doing all kind of things. And none of those false gods ever answered a prayer for anybody, and they never will.
Amen.
So we don't pray to the dead. We don't pray to any other god. I don't know of any scripture that says anything about praying to any saint.
Amen.
Huh? Including Jesus' mother?
That's right.
See, these are things men just made up.
That's right.
Huh? He didn't say, pray our Father or Saint so-and-so or Mary. No, no. Just our Father. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. And then what should we focus on? We know who we're talking to. We know where he is. Now what do we focus on? Your kingdom come. He's building his church. And his kingdom is developing and expanding. And his kingdom shall rule over all. And his kingdom is an eternal kingdom that shall never end. What we're experiencing right now is the briefest thing we will ever experience. This life and this earth right now is the shortest thing we will... It is so temporary in the eyes of God. Soon and very soon, there will be no kingdom of China or Russia or Japan or U.S. of A. These kingdoms will be gone and there will be one kingdom.
Amen.
One. The kingdom of heaven. Many times the kingdom of God is referred to as the kingdom of heaven. And so today we're talking about learning how to pray. We need to know about the connection between heaven and earth in our praying, or we won't pray correctly. Somebody say heaven and earth. What did he say? Our Father which art in
heaven,
hallowed be your name. One of the commandments, Ten Commandments, is that you are never to use the Lord's name in vain.
Amen.
Well, why? You know, everybody knows that these cuss words, using God's name is wrong. I mean, even unbelievers know that's not good. But what's wrong with it? What's wrong with it? It is such disrespect. It is so disrespectful. When you use the word God,
amen,
you need to either be talking to him or about him.
Amen.
If you're not talking to him and you're not talking about him and you're using it as a byword, you're using his name, a reference to him, for nothing, in vain, for no reason. You're bantering it around like it is nothing, like there is no God. Like God doesn't exist. God is holy. He is awesome. He is love. He's everything. And when you mention the name God, it's connected to the idea of everything that he is. You don't want to use the phrase OMG.
That's right.
Don't even text it.
That's right.
Amen.
Y'all with me?
Yes.
Because what does the G stand for?
Right.
Huh? And when you say OMG, are you talking to God? Are you talking about God? Then you're using the G in vain.
That's right.
These things matter.
Yes.
I said they matter. We live in a crude, ungodly, vulgar world. But we're supposed to be lights,
yes,
that shine,
yes,
in a dark world.
Yes.
Let people see some respect for the things of God in us. If we can't control whether they use his name to curse or not, but they're not going to hear it out of us, and they're going to hear us honor the Lord. They're going to see us bless the name of the Lord. Amen. Show some honor, show some respect. That's why he says, "Our Father, which art in heaven, what?
Hallowed,
hallowed, holy." Holy is your name.
Amen.
It won't be long. You'll be standing at the throne.
Wow.
It won't be. You live another 50, 75 years. It's going to go by in a flash.
Yeah, that's right.
Next thing you know, you'll be out of here.
Amen.
And nobody will have to tell you he's holy.
That's right.
Oh, he'll be standing there with your arms up and with the ransom throne. Oh, hallelujah. So go ahead and start now. Do it by faith now. Show respect now. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. And then immediately, what does he go to? Your kingdom come, and what?
Your will
be done. Now see, you got a lot of people think the will of God is absolutely mysterious and unknowable. And then you got a lot of people that think, well, anything and everything that happens must have been the will of God. But see, if everything that's happening is the will of God, why would we need to be praying that the will of God would happen? And if the will of God, is happening in the earth just like it is in heaven, this is unnecessary to say, pray that God's will would be done in the earth as it is in heaven. Why would you need to pray that? This is a huge point right here. You'll find people in two major camps where these things are concerned. Either no God or all God. And neither one of them are true. What do you mean? There's a lot of people on the planet. They believe there is no God. There is no God. And it's a choice. You've chosen to believe he is. I have. They've chosen not to. It's a choice. Sadly, many will find out too late, after they die, that they have made a terrible choice. But if there's no God, there's no point in going to church.
Amen.
Huh? There's no point in praying.
Right.
If there's no God, there is no point in praying. And some of those people, they look at us as fools. Praying fools. And if there's no God, you would be a fool.
That's right.
You're praying to nothing. But then there is another camp, and they believe everything that happens is God. Everything that happens is somehow God. No matter how awful and terrible it may be, somehow or another, it was and is the will of God. You just don't understand it. All God. But see, both of those result in the same result. What do you mean? Well, if there's no God, there's no point in praying. If God's controlling everything anyway, also, can you see that? No point in praying because he's going to do what he has predetermined to do anyway. Not true. Not what the Bible reveals. Not right. God is not controlling everything in the earth. In fact, in many ways, the earth is out of control. Now, it's really important to get this thing settled. If you believe what millions of church-going people believe, that everything that is happening in the earth is God's controlling and will and plan. If you believe that, you're going to be hopelessly confused about all kinds of things. Look with me in Psalm 115. Jesus told us to pray. He prayed a lot. Why? I mean, if God's already controlling everything, what was Jesus praying about? Why do all that? Psalm 115 and 15. You are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Somebody say heaven and earth. Boy, there is so much to say about this. And it would take me an hour on each point. Philippians, for instance. Hold your place there, and they'll put this on the screen for us. Put up Philippians, please, on the screen so people don't have to turn. The second chapter, I believe it is, I won't. Philippians 2 and 9. Philippians 2 and 9, it says, talking about the Master, God highly exalted him and has given him a name which is above every name. And we're going to be talking about that as time goes on. How many know this name is very significant in prayer?
Yes.
And we're talking about it right now. Why is this name so significant? Because this name is the name of highest authority, not only on earth, but in heaven and under the earth.
Yes.
He's about to say that. Verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things. Now, the word things is King James. Some translations, well, actually, let me read the literal. It says that in the name of Jesus, the Young's literal translation says, every knee may bow of heavenlies and earthlies and what are under the earth. Heavenlies are beings that are in heaven. They're not here. Earthlies, that's what you is. You an earthly. And then there is under the earth. Under the earth. There are beings existing right now. Under the earth, in the core of the planet, which is also where hell is. And on the surface of the planet, that's us. They tell us the volume of the planet, the surface, is 1% where we live. So the volume, the most of the room is inside. The planet. You might say, well, nobody could live in there. We're not talking about flesh and blood. Talking about spirits and souls. And we're told that as you near the core of the planet, the temperatures reach 10,000 degrees Fahrenheit. Hot as the surface of the sun. That sounds like hell. When somebody say, hot as hell, I doubt it. Huh? See, that's another thing. See, people they banner that word around. Like there is no hell. Like it doesn't exist. Well, you get to this. Do you believe the Bible or don't you? According to the Bible, there are beings. You know, people talk about, you know, do you believe, or they look out in the night sky, is there life out there? You better believe it. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Has been long before there was an earth. And so the earthlies you could call terrestrial, Terran. And there are beings from heaven. They are not of earth. They weren't born on earth. They don't come from earth. Their origin is outside this planet. But they visit. They come. Angels.
That's right.
And then there's under the earth. Now, you can doubt this, and there are people that say, oh, that's a bunch of junk. They go find out as soon as they quit breathing. It won't matter what they believe. It's either true or it's not. And the Bible states it not as a parable, but as a fact.
That's right.
A reality. Beings under the earth, beings on the surface of the earth, and beings in heaven. Now, when you're talking about heaven, the scripture refers to at least three heavens. Three heavens. The first heaven is what we call our atmosphere, our sky, our atmosphere. And above that, the second heaven, we'd call that space. There's something above that.
That's right.
Hallelujah. That we can't even see. And that's where God lives. It's His dwelling place. Heaven. Why am I talking about that? Does it have anything to do with prayer?
Yes.
Our Father, which art in heaven.
That's right.
Huh? Hallowed be your name. And then what? Your kingdom come. Your will. Should we? Is there any need for us to pray anything that could affect His will in the earth?
Yes.
That's the first thing He told us to pray about. I mean, from the time we open our eyes in the morning to the time we lay down, that should be in our thinking somewhere, the will of God. The will of God. Now, if the will of God is going to happen anyway, apart from us, without us, then, like we said, if it's all God, there's no need to pray. He's going to do it, whether or no. But if we're involved, then there's some things that won't be done if we don't do our part.
Amen.
You and I have a part, a vital part, in the will of God being accomplished in the earth. The Lord has set it up that way. He's ordained that you and I be involved. You cannot leave up to Him what He's left up to you.
Amen.
You can't say, well, Lord, I just want you to do it all. Yeah, but He's already decided how it is to be done. Now look in Psalm 115, let's finish that. He said, you're blessed of the Lord which made heaven and earth. Keep reading. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's. But the earth has He given to the children of men. Did He do it or not?
Yes.
Yes. Now, what kind of giver is He? But if He gives you something, did He really give it to you?
Yes.
Or does He keep controlling it?
No.
Huh? See, if somebody keeps trying to control something they supposedly gave you, they didn't really give it to you to do what you want to do with it. But when God gave human beings this planet, how did He do it? If He was ever going to just take over and go, nah, you're messing it up. Here, let me take this thing. He would have done it when Adam and Eve fell.
Right.
That's right.
That's true.
Yep.
Hmm?
That's true. Yeah.
He didn't do it.
No.
He let them rebel against Him. He let them disobey Him. He let them sin. And the sin resulted in the curse and the fall. And everything that's happened since then is man's fault.
Amen.
Not God's.
Amen.
Man's fault. All the evil in this earth is not God. If it was all up to God, we'd still be in the garden. There would be no sin. There would be no curse. There would be no death. He made it the way He wanted it to be to start with. What happened after sin and curse and death was not an improvement on God's original creation. And you'll see in the scripture, you look in Genesis before the fall, there's no curse, there's no pain, there's no disease, there's no poverty, there's not even any bad weather. You fast forward to the end of the book, Revelation. Guess what? No pain, no sorrow. What? No death, no dying. Why? That has always been God's will in heaven.
Amen.
And that's how it is in heaven. Right now, I assure you, You go to heaven, you can search every street and every corner and will not find any crime. You won't find any starving people. You won't find, they don't even have any hospitals. No hospitals, no mental institutions, no funeral homes, no cemeteries, none. Why? Because God is in control there. And His will is being done in its entirety there. Not here. Not here. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Put it on the screen for us, please. 2 Corinthians 4:4. It says, "The God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who's the image of God, should shine unto them." Who's blinding people's minds so that they don't believe?
The God of this world.
God? No. Yeah, but whoever he's talking about is the God of this world. That's not talking about our Father God in heaven.
No.
Somebody else is operating as the God of this world right now. It's the adversary. Yes. It's Satan, God's enemy. Now, it's not going to last forever. Thank you, Lord. This thing is going to finish up. There's a finish to it. But the finish is not salvation of the planet. The planet will not be saved. And even the atmosphere and the nearby heavens around us have been so tainted with sin and disobedience, God's doing away with all of it. The planet is going to melt. It's not going to be saved. But God is going to create new earth and new heavens.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Wherein is no curse. Hallelujah. No curse. So everything that you and I are seeing and a part of down here is very, very temporary because of sin. But what is going on is the Lord is seeking the precious fruit of the earth in the midst of this dark, death-filled, curse-filled, sin-filled place. There are a remnant. I'm looking at some of them. There's a remnant that in the midst of all the foulness and lewdness and sin and disobedience, there are some who believe Him. Some who love Him. Huh? And these are the precious fruit of the earth. This is what God wants to save from off the earth. Not the planet itself, but the souls that trust Him. And these are His forever family that He has taken into the world to come and His eternal kingdom and training us even now to be in places to rule and reign with Him forever. We have some kind of future, child of God. We have some kind of future. And there's no need thinking a whole lot about that now because we'll get there when we get there. But now, right here and now, God's will is that the gospel go everywhere throughout this planet. And His will is that people believe and come to Him and be saved and be received and receive Him. And you and I have a part in that. Every believer, every church, every ministry, we have a part in this. Is it God's will?
Yes.
Well, is prayer a part of this as well? Yes, it is. Go with me to 1 Corinthians, please. Thanks be to God. 1 Corinthians, the third chapter. 1 Corinthians 3:6. This was our text not too long ago. He said, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Now, was this all God?
No.
Mm-mm. Paul had a part. Apollos had a part. But of course, God's part nobody could do except God. But did God do it all? No, He didn't. Mm-mm. Is He still working that way today?
Yes.
See, there's a manward side and a Godward side. We can't do His part. He won't do our part. So the folks that are just waiting on God to do everything, they're going to be disappointed. Because that's not what He told us to do. He said, I planted. That means He preached the gospel to them and taught them the things in the Word of God. They'd never heard it before. Planting is hearing it for the first time. Amen. And then Apollos came along and taught them about some of the same things. He watered what Paul had already taught. But then God gave the increase. Hallelujah. But what I'm saying, He didn't do it apart from what Paul did. He didn't do it apart from what Apollos did. And that's really what this text is saying. Look at verse 9. Verse 9, for we are what? Laborers together with God. We actually have a word called collaboration. And if you look at it, co means with. Co. Co is not just you doing it and me watching. Co is me and you doing it. Co laboring. Collaboration is that word labor. Cooperating, collaborating, working with. Working with who? God. That's not just standing by and say, everybody just needs to stay out of God's way because He does it all. It's not true. It's not true. Certainly the things that He does, only He can do. I can't do it. You can't do what He can do, what He does. But He won't do what He told you to do or what He told me to do. And he requires that we work with Him. So we gave a couple of definitions of what prayer is, and I'm giving you another one today. I think you already know what it is. What is prayer? It is a communion with the Creator. It is fellowship with the Father. You know what else it is? Working with God. Working with God. Or you can say it like this. Working with heaven. Working with heaven. Heaven and earth. Where is heaven exactly? Well, it's not here. It's not earth. You know, sometimes you hear people talking about, this is heaven. No, it's not. You can have a taste of heaven on the earth, but the earth ain't heaven. Never will be. It's fallen. It's infected so bad with sin and curse and death that God's not even going to fix it. He's going to replace it. And so actually, Romans says the earth is groaning and travailing because of the sin and curse and death that's under. And when you see these storms and these earthquakes and these strain and these extremes this way and extremes, the earth is actually aging and groaning and will die. But it won't die just from old age. Something's going to happen to our star. And it won't be anything anybody can do. And it won't be because too many of us drove SUVs. Now you're laughing, but there are folks that green is their religion, not God. Romans even prophesied it. They worship the creation instead of the Creator. And so they don't know the things we're talking about, and they actually believe man can save himself. That they're their own saviors, and they can save themselves, they can save the planet. You can't do either one. You cannot do either one. I'm no advocate of seeing how bad you can pollute things and mess things up, but you will never be able to save yourself. And that's why we had to have a Savior. And you can't save the planet either. And you'll only be here a few more days. You need to be thinking about heaven.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You need to be thinking about where you're going when you quit breathing. Because it won't be long. They tell us all over the surface of the planet, every second or so, two people die. While we're preaching and talking this morning, every second, two more. People are leaving here by the scores of thousands and every day. And that's just normal. That's just life. I mean, how many know you are not living down here forever on this planet? Do you know that? So you don't pretend like you are. And you need to be ready to go. What do you mean ready to go? You need to have received Jesus as your one and only Lord and Savior. He said, nobody comes to the Father except by me. So if you haven't done that, you want to do that this morning before we leave. Because this world's a dangerous place. And you got no guarantee that you're going to live to a ripe old age. A lot of these people that are dying, two every second, a lot of them are young. A lot of them are middle-aged. But heaven is something to look forward to. And hell is obviously awful. But it's real. It's there. And if people reject God and they don't want Him, they don't want what He has, there's only one other place to go. That's with the devil and his crowd. Apparently, hell was made for the devil and his bunch. And, you know, not originally for human beings, but if you side with him, you get to stay with him. Not me. I said, no, how about you? Not me. Not me. Not me. Said out loud, we are laborers together. With God.
With God.
Say it again. Laborers together.
With God.
What does that mean? We work with Him. Not just for. With. We work with God. Go back to Genesis, please. Genesis. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Genesis 28. You know, Paul talked about, he said he was caught up to the third heaven. That's one of the reasons we know there's at least three. And then he later when he referred to the third heaven, he called it paradise. The word paradise is the word that denotes a beautiful park or Eden. Eden. So, you know, just looking around down here, God likes trees.
Amen.
And flowers. Is that right? And greenery. And so you can expect to see some more of that. That's what He likes. I like it too. How about you? Oh, yeah. Never seen anything any better. But we'll see it later on in perfect condition without the curse. But the third heaven, where God dwells, this is not imaginary. This is not symbolic. Heaven's a place.
Amen.
I said it's a place.
Amen.
Just like earth is a place.
That's right.
Hell is a place. Amen. Whether you want to believe it or not, it is. I heard some on a talk show one time. This guy was kind of grilling a internationally known pastor. And he was saying, you really believe that God would send people to hell? A God who is love would send people to hell? How could that be? How can that be love, eternity in hell? And when I was watching it, I was feeling for the guy. He's kind of on the hot seat. And I said, Lord, what's the best way of answering that? What is the best way? And just immediately the Lord spoke to my heart. I don't mean I heard a voice, but inside real clearly, he said, Keith, it's not my choice.
That's right.
Is that true?
Yes.
Think about that. It's not everybody who winds up in hell. It was not God's choice. It was their choice. Their choice. And you can be sure people that wind up there, they had many opportunities in this life to make the right choice. Should we be thankful the Lord helped us to make the right choice? Oh, we don't know how thankful to be. Not only are we not going to hell, we're going to heaven. Woo! That's enough to run and shout about. The rest of the week, the rest of the month, the rest of the year, till you get out of here. Isn't it? Oh, somebody say, I'm not going to hell.
I'm going to heaven.
It's a place. It's a place. And so in Genesis 28, Jacob is actually leaving home. His brother Esau wants to kill him. And so he's on his own. He's a young guy. He doesn't have anything. And in those days, you know, if you traveled 50 miles, you might never be heard from again. I'm serious. There are bandits, robbers, murderers, and thieves. Watch the highways and watch the road. Now, when I say highway, it's not what we call a highway, but a trail. And lots of big predators. Not like now. Lions, leopards, bears. I mean, it just was common for people to go missing. And what happened? The bear got them. Just common back then. And so he's a young guy. He's outside by himself. He don't know anybody around here. He doesn't have much of money. He prayed. And when he went to sleep, Genesis 28:12. You got to remember who his father is and who his grandfather is. He's in Abraham's family. And so he knows something about God and faith in God. And he went to sleep out there on the ground, and he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. He saw movement. He saw beings going up, and he saw beings going down, ascending and descending. Now, actually, the word ladder may not be the best word on this particular one. The word here only appears this one time in the Scriptures. And there were other words for ladder or stairs. One way, if you read after the folks that study these things, one person said it could be translated highway. And think about, I hadn't thought about this till the other day when I saw it. You know, we use that term all the time, highway. But it's two words.
Yes.
High.
Yeah.
Highway. And so this is definitely a highway. Because they were going high. Can you see this?
Yeah.
Beings. Now somebody might say, well, it was a dream, Brother Keith. I know. Did you know that some dreams are real? Some dreams actually happen. You remember when Joseph, you know, the way the Lord protected Jesus when he was a baby and a boy is an angel appeared to him in a dream and told him they're out to kill the child. And then told him leave. And then told him Herod's dead. Come back. He had, I don't know, four or five dreams like that. Is this just some imaginary thing? No. He's seeing an angel. And he's getting direction for his life.
Right.
This is happening. But the Bible calls it a dream.
Yes.
Obviously, some dreams, there's nothing to it. Not all dreams are of God, obviously. But some dreams actually happen. And so in this experience, he sees movement. Traffic, if you will. Going between earth and heaven. The way, highway, went up out of sight into heaven, but it's connected to earth. You know, the Bible said when Jesus was on the earth, when he was out in the wilderness and was tempted those 40 days and nights, after the temptation, you know, 40 days and nights without eating and all that, he was weak. Said an angel came to him and ministered to him during that time. And when he was in the garden right before he went to the cross, you know, when he was praying, God, if it be your will, you know, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And he was, blood was coming out of his pores. The Bible said there appeared an angel from heaven. From heaven, strengthening him while he was praying. An angel came from heaven,
amen,
not from around the corner on earth. From heaven to the earth and was strengthening Jesus while he was praying. Can we get anything from this, guys? Can we learn anything from this? Praying is working with God in the earth that his will, just like it is in heaven, that his will would be done on the earth. If it's already going to be done, there's no point in praying. But you don't have to look around much to see there's a lot of stuff going on that ain't the will of God. And there's a lot of things that are the will of God that's not happening. And the Lord wants the things that are not his will. He wants some things to be stopped. And some things that are his will, he wants them to happen. He wants them to manifest. Can praying, your praying, be a part of this? Can my praying be a part of this? Can we work with heaven? Hallelujah. And angels, ministering spirits, messengers from another place, be involved in affecting some of these answers and some of these things. Is this big? Is this big? So Jacob saw this. The International Standard Version says he had a dream. He saw a raised highway that had been built with its ending point on the earth and its beginning point in heaven. And God's angels were ascending and descending on it. Well, that hadn't changed. That's the way it's always been. You read in the book of Daniel, he was praying and set himself to learn some things, and angels were dispatched from heaven, and they were delayed by some enemies resisting them. But They came through anyhow, and he got what he needed. And that was praying. Praying. So we need to pray. And we need to be persistent in praying. And we need to be focused and set. We want some will of God like it is in heaven manifested on the earth. And it's not just going to automatically happen apart from any human beings. God gave the planet to human beings. And when we pray, listen to the terminology. I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, but there's so much what we'd call legal terminology in Scripture. Judge, advocate, intercession, right? Hearing, justified, condemned. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. Why? God didn't get it from us. We got it from Him. Man got the very concept and idea of justice and right and wrong from Him, from the Word, from the Scripture. But God does things based on a right. He is the righteous judge of all the earth, and He won't pervert justice for anyone. If He does something, it's right. It's fair. And He had a right to do it. Now you might say, well, He's God. He's got a right to do anything. Well, not exactly. Not according to Him. If He gives you something and leaves it up to you, unless you ask Him to be involved, it's not intercession, it's interference. Now, I don't think I've ever said that like that before. But think, I mean, people don't, they don't even like the idea of that. What do you mean, interference? Yes. If I give you a car, and I say, well, I actually just sold a motorcycle yesterday. And the brother was real happy about it. But, you know, as far as I'm concerned, that's his motorbike. Right? That's nothing to me. If he wants to chop the fenders off and make a dirt bike out of it. I mean, I don't recommend it, but it's his bike. Is that right? If he wants to take good care of it and ride it to church, it's his bike. If he wants to backslide and ride it to a bad place, still his bike. Huh? I'm not going to show up and go, no, you can't do that. Because it's no longer my bike. Did you read that scripture or not? Psalm 115. Put it back on the screen for us. Psalm 115. What was it, 15? Did I say it right? 115, 15, 16 is the verse. The heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's. Somebody said, well, I thought it was all His. Well, by right of creation, it is. If He didn't sustain it, it wouldn't continue. But, is everybody reading?
Yes, sir.
But, what?
The earth,
He gave it away. I said He gave it away. I said He gave it away.
Yes.
Who did He give it to?
Us.
Human beings.
Right.
He gave it to us. That explains a lot.
Yeah.
Right? Doesn't it? It really does. Doesn't that explain? That explains so much as to what's wrong down here. He's given it to the children of men. So if God just says, get out of my way, this is what I want to happen, I'm going to do it. I don't care if 90% of the men on the world want it or not. I'm doing it. I'm God. I can do it. Then He's taking over something that He gave. Now, if we ask Him to, If we invite Him and ask Him, that's not interference. That's intervention at our request. Oh, come on, can you see that? This is one of the biggest revelations you can have about prayer, and it's one that most of the church does not have. They're still trying to say everything that happens is God. I mean, I had a preacher try to back me up in the corner one time. I was preaching some of these things. He came over. Oh, he was snarling. He said, I want you to know that God, when He gets ready for you to do something, you will do it. I said, no. God does not make men do things. If He was going to make human beings do something, He'd make them receive Jesus and get saved and miss hell. Because that's His will. I said, it's not His will that any should perish. Are some going to perish? Apparently a lot of people are going to perish. But it's not God's will. It's not His will. Just not true. But see that demanding, that pushing religious spirit. Not God. Not God. One of the reasons I love the Lord so much. I was lost. My parents, Adam and Eve, they lost themselves. They lost their own souls. They lost the planet. They let the devil come in and take over. God's enemy. Now you know that didn't sit well with God. Right? That's why I say, if He was ever going to say, nuh-uh, no, I'm taking this thing over, I'm taking this thing back, He'd have done it right then. He'd have said, uh-uh, no, the devil ain't, I made this for you, no. But He didn't. He gave it to human beings to such a degree, they could hand it over to the enemy. That's how much it belongs to us. And so, man had lost himself. Oh, but Jesus came and gave Himself as our redemption and bought us and redeemed us. And even though God owns me multiple times, He owns me. I wouldn't even exist without He created human beings. I wouldn't exist without He sustains the planet and the star and my breathing and everything else every millisecond. And then He buys back His own property with the blood of His own Son and still says, here's the keys. I bought you back. Serve me if you want to. Your choice. Serve me or not. Now you're a fool if you don't. But He's not going to make you. But since that's the way it is across this whole planet, God is not just doing anything and everything He wants to on the earth, irrespective of what men want or don't want. That's religious belief. It is not true. It is not the Bible. It would be interfering with men and the earth He gave to mankind. But we read there in Matthew 6 and Matthew 7, immediately, this wasn't written in chapter and verse, but just a few verses later, He said, ask and it'll be given. Seek and you'll find. Knock. Why? Do I need to? Do we need to?
Yes.
Is it connected with what God wants to do?
Yes.
Is it working with God?
Yes.
Is it heaven and earth
yes.
working together?
Yes.
Huh? When we ask in faith, in that name above all names, hallelujah, it gives God a right.
Amen.
Hallelujah, to do things out of heaven into the earth.
Yes.
And He's not interfering. And He has every right to do it because we invited Him.
Yes.
We asked Him.
Yes.
Don't you remember in Revelations? It said, the Lord said, behold, I stand at the door and what?
Knock.
Knock. Why? Knock. Because to do anything else would be intrusion. Can you see that?
Yes.
To do it, to just knock the door down and come in and drag you out and drag you to church, to the altar, and say, be saved, get saved. I mean, now. Mm-mm. No, no, that would be overriding your will. That would be interfering with your life. That would be intruding, wouldn't it? So he doesn't do that. What does he do? Stands at the door. He won't come in. He won't come in unless you ask him. So no, all the tragedy and problems that are going on in the world is not because God's doing things, that cruel things that people don't understand. It's because God is not even in it. He's not involved in it at all. And that's the problem. Nobody had asked him in. Nobody had invited him in. But that's not you. And that's not me. We're going to do what the Lord said. He said ask. We're going to ask. We're going to invite him in. Huh? Every day. In all our ways. We're going to acknowledge him. Hallelujah. And he's going to direct. We said, Lord, I want you in all my business.
Amen.
All my business. I want you involved with my body. I want you involved with my head and my mind. I want you involved with my kids and my grandkids. I want you involved with my money. I want you involved. Because if you don't ask him, he's not going to push his way off on you. You have to invite him. You have to ask him. You have to seek it. And that's where prayer comes. Prayer is a big part of this. Now go to Matthew 16 in closing. Hope you can come back because we did not cover all of this. Is this big or is this big? Whew, Matthew 16. We added a third definition of what prayer is. Prayer is communion with the Creator. Prayer is fellowship with the Father. And that's first. But what else is it? Now, notice even how the Lord's teaching us how to pray. Our Father. So that's personal. Right? That's not just the judge on the bench. That's Abba. That's Daddy. That's personal. Communion, fellowship. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. That's personal. Fellowship. Communion. But then immediately, your will be done. We need to be about the Father's business. Right? The things he won't stop. There's things he wants done. Somebody said, well, if he wants it done, he'll just do it. That's where you're wrong. We are workers together with him. He will intervene. He will be involved. Thank God. If somebody asks him to. Right? In faith. But if nobody does, there are numerous verses that talks about people being left to themselves. And Ephesians talks about that before we were saved, we were without hope and without God in the world. Amen. Wasn't it God was giving us a hard life? It was that God was nowhere around our life. He was not involved in our life at all. And that was the problem. Without God, there's no life. There's no joy. There's no peace. There's no grace. And it's terrible that people are experiencing all kind of bad things and blaming God when the problem is not God. It's the absence of God. Do y'all believe this, saints? This is so important to get these things right. The problem is not God. The problem is the absence of God. You take God out. You leave God out. Now you're going to have problems. In Matthew 16. Jesus said in verse 15, who do you say I am? To his disciples. Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the anointed one. He's the Messiah, the Son of the living God." How many believe that's exactly who he is? I want to hear everybody say, I mean every voice in the building and in Branson. I want to see if I can hear you from Branson. And I'm looking at the camera. Everybody watching online, would you please, if you care about heaven and hell and these things, would you say it out loud? Jesus.
Jesus.
You are.
The Christ.
The Son.
Of the living God.
You are. You are. Oh, yes. So Jesus said, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it to you, but my Father, which is in heaven." That'll mean more to you now, won't it? Our Father, it's where he is. It's a place. "And I say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of what?
Hell."
So hell's a real place, and there are things going on. Well, see, just like there's activity from heaven to earth, the enemy wants the will of hell manifested on the earth. He wants killing and stealing and destroying and darkness and pain and death and gnashing of teeth. And there's a bunch of it in the earth. God wants heaven on earth.
Yes.
A taste of it at least. Peace. Grace. Joy. Life. Little bit of heaven to go to heaven in. Little bit of heaven to help make it through this dark place down here. "And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." There's activity. The enemy needs people to work through as well.
Right.
He can't just do everything he wants to do on the earth because he wants to do it. He has to get people to work with him.
Right.
That'll yield to him. Verse 19. "And Jesus gives us the answer. He said, I give to you the keys of the kingdom." Not keys to the kingdom. Not keys to. Keys of the kingdom. Keys represent authority. And with keys, you can get in places. Right? And you can lock and unlock. You can enter. You can access. Keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you shall bind. Huh? Does all this work together? Whatever you, whatever what? Whatever God decides to bind? No, he's working with us. I said he's working with us. Whatever you bind where? On earth. Will be bound, shall be bound. In heaven, there will be backup.
Right.
Hmm? From heaven. What if you don't bind it on the earth? Will heaven bind it anyway?
No.
No, see, that's where people have really jumped to some wrong conclusions. Why would he say to do this? If he's going to do what he wants to do, no matter what. Workers together with God. And he didn't say, I'll bind it in heaven and then. Mm-mm. So we're not waiting on heaven. In many cases, heaven is waiting on us. That's right. Whatever you will bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And this is a substantial part of our praying, Phyllis and my praying. We travel a lot. And so I always pray before I travel. Because I like to have a good, easy trip.
Amen.
No problems. And I like to make it there.
Yeah.
And make it back.
Yeah.
You're laughing, but without God's help. And so there are things I should ask for, and there are things I should bind, and there are things I should lose.
Yes, sir.
Do you ever go anywhere?
Yes, sir.
I recommend this for you too then. I'll say, Lord, I pray your hand on us, that you'd quicken us to do the right things the right way at the right time. I pray your hand on our vehicles and direct who we get, like in air traffic control, or who we get, direct who we get and how they direct us. Give us favor with them, I ask.
Amen.
Am I asking for something?
Yes, you are.
Huh?
Yes,
sir. Do I want God involved in my traveling? Yeah,
yes.
So I'm asking for something.
Right.
And Lord, and then I'll say, ministering spirits, go. Go ahead, prepare the way, and clear the way before, behind, above, beneath, round about. You've been given charge concerning us to keep us in all our ways.
Yes.
Is that some loosing?
Yes.
Can you see that? And then I'll say, every evil spirit that would think to hinder us or hurt us or harm us in any way, I bind you and I shut you down. I command you to stop in any operations, cease in any maneuvers against us.
Amen.
So I have asked, I have loosed, I have bound.
Right.
Amen.
Why would I do that? Because I believe it matters.
Right.
Whether I do it or not. There is a God. My Father, who's in heaven. There's an enemy that's always trying to cause you problems. Some things need to be loosed. Some things need to be bound. Some things need to be asked. Some things need to be sought for. Is that true? For you? I said for you. Every day of your life, do you need some of these things? Is God going to do it whether you ask or not? Is it going to happen in heaven whether it happens on earth or not?
No.
Not according to this. I'll give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. You can begin to see why Jesus prayed and why he did so much praying. What's he praying about? Thy kingdom come. Your will be done. Is he asking for some things?
Yes.
Yeah. Is he binding some things and loosing some things? And he's communing with the Father. He's fellowshipping with the Father. And he is collaborating with heaven.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Yes. For God's will to be done in the earth. This is prayer. Stand on your feet, everybody.
This ministry has been brought to you today, free of charge, by the partners of More Life Ministries and Faith Life Church. If you would like to help send this word to others at no charge, you can become a word sender today. For more information, visit our website at morelife.org.